Well, that's...
Hello.
That's freaky.
Although you've already said hello.
That's kind of freaky. So I hit the mute switch. Normally, the mute switch will just mute us. And then we'll stop. And no, it doesn't. What? Never hit that one. 1, 2. That doesn't do anything either. No. Well, I can explain why my mute switch has stopped working, but I have lost faith.
Yeah.
In it.
It's a good job. I mean, you know, it's a good job we know all that effing and blinding we do.
Well, it makes it hard to do it. We need some new equipment.
We really do. But this is not news to us. It's not news to the people. Yeah, we know that.
Huh. Right. Let's do a show.
I think we should probably do that.
Let's get this on the... I'm baffled. You see how I've been bamboozled, but, you know, I'm all at sea now.
Do you need a minute?
I'll just have a sip of my wine and just chill out a bit.
Yeah. We're doing a whiny show today.
Oh, great. You're selling it to the listeners.
Not whiny like that.
No.
Now, let me do your roll call. That'll give you a minute to think, to ponder, to worry. Bless you. Look at your little frowny face.
You don't like it when things don't work.
Aw. Jordan F1 is around. Will and Bassano, who is having pizza and instigated a big pizza discussion just now. Stephen is, he's just done his predictions. And Little Purple Goth is about. Is that it? That might be it. I hope I haven't missed anyone. Oh, Davin, of course.
I saw Davin having some issues with his audio that he's now resolved. I, too, am having issues with my audio.
Yeah.
Not something that I can resolve. I'm annoyed now. I've gone from bamboozled to annoyed.
Okay, that's, is this like the stages of grief?
That's exactly what it is.
Can we get to acceptance so we can move on?
Doesn't acceptance involve throwing it out of the window?
No.
Then no.
Okay.
Good stuff. Have we got a packed show today?
I think so.
Is it worth people turning up to listen to this nonsense?
Well, we accidentally haven't done one for a month, so...
Did so much for this plan to do lots and lots and lots of side podcast shows in 2013.
Well, we still will.
Okay.
It just also was a month since we last did one.
Do you have a starting point for this show then? Do you want to?
Yeah.
Lead us in.
Hold on.
You need a minute.
Yeah, my turn.
Oh, so professional. I don't know how we do it.
I don't think we've ever claimed to be professional.
No.
It's been a little while since we did one of these shows, so there's a lot to catch up on, and this is the last opportunity we're going to have to talk pre-season stuff, because I don't know if you noticed, but the season starts next week.
The countdown has depleted.
My countdown to F1, single digits now.
That's all we've got left. It's so very close. Are you feeling the 2013 vibe? Are you ready for racing?
I wish it would hurry up and get here.
Yay! Let's bring it on. I genuinely have loved this winter break. I've loved the off season. We've got plenty of things done, but I am ready to watch some cars go round in circles.
I feel like this was the perfect off season, and that just leads you in nice and refreshed to what is hopefully going to be a perfect season.
And is it going to be a perfect season?
Well, it's impossible to say.
I think it's going to be a blinding season, because Pirelli, they've done exactly what they set out to do, and they've put the chills down all of the drivers. That doesn't make sense. Because Pirelli have mixed up. They have mixed up Formula One once again.
They
promised to do this. Yeah, and in testing, all the talk has been about how the Pirellis are not lasting anywhere near as long as drivers would like and as long as teams would like. Testing has been colder than it will be for the first race of the season. So things will change, and the situation may not be as severe as it was in Barcelona for this last test. But, you know, this is what we're looking for. We are looking for a mixed-up pack. We're looking forward to going into the first race with no real idea who is going to come out on top. Right now, it really does feel like it could be any one of four teams who could finish on the top step in Australia.
And with that in mind, I must ask for everyone to send in their predictions. Now, we're doing this show on a Friday, and the deadline is actually Saturday. So... you've not got very long left to do it, but I need your predictions, because I'm going to do one of my excellent audio mega mixes of everyone's thoughts, feelings, hopes, dreams of the season coming. I've had some. I would like some more. You can call them in to the Skype voicemail 01212887225, or you can just email me an MP3 at christine@sopodcast.com. Like I said, the deadline is Saturday, because I'm hopefully doing the show on Sunday. So if you're listening to this in time, get them in.
And it's worth mentioning, and let's not forget, this is obligatory. If you are listening to Side Podcast, if you are demanding more podcasts from us this year, then we are demanding things from you in return. And we are saying, if you are listening to this show, if you are, do not think that you will be a passive listener in 2013. Your job is to ring up and tell us exactly what you think will happen. And there will be many more opportunities this year. And we expect to hear from everybody who's listening in.
If you're listening to this show, you're likely to have an opinion on Formula One, and we need to know about it. So you were talking about testing a bit there, but we need to rewind just a tiny bit, because just before the second week of testing in Barcelona, Williams became the last team to launch their new car. We have been rating the launches, and we do need to just cover this quickly because it needs a rating score. But to be honest, it may as well not have happened.
Can I remember what happened with the Williams launch? I'm not sure it even appeared on my radar. Was it a major launch?
No. They wheeled the car out ahead of Barcelona testing. And that was it, in the pit lane. We released some pictures that were quite confusing because they've got an odd nose and the tip of it is white. So the side-on picture looked like the nose cut off very early. It was
because the picture was
confusing.
On a white background.
Yeah. And that's it. They don't have a step nose, so that's good. But the launch, it was late. It was, I don't know, 2 weeks after everyone else. Pretty much forgotten what launches were like by then. Not that interesting.
And so what do you give this very poor example of a launch?
Well, they didn't do anything wrong, but
they didn't offend anybody.
No.
That's a good sign.
It may as well have been non-existent. So probably 3.
3 out of 10.
And then to recap all the launches, Sauber was my top rated, and they are my number one team this year. And
what did you give Sauber? Remind me. You don't remember. That looks as I don't remember and I didn't do my research. Well, you can just cut me out of there. Carry on.
I've got it here.
Okay.
They got 9, swiftly followed by Lotus with 8, and Ferrari and Mercedes were both on 7. And then at the other end, there is Marussia and now Williams on 3. McLaren had 2 and Red Bull, they had 1. Let's not forget how rubbish that launch was.
Well, that was a desperately awful launch when they refused to let anybody take any pictures, and then they hassled the media. That's not a good start to your season. Want a sweeper?
Oh, that's early. The launch led straight into the first week of testing in Barcelona, which was the second week of testing overall, because we already had 1 week in Jerez, but Barcelona got 2 weeks. Like you said, Pirelli were the talk of the test. They were under fire for the high levels of degradation on the tyres, and this time the teams were saying it was because it was too cold, or they weren't. Who was saying it was too cold?
I don't know. Who was that? Something that came up?
That isn't really. Oh, I've ruined it.
It was going so well. I was enjoying listening to you. Want to do it again?
I've ruined my life.
Can I save you?
No.
Can I swoop in? Are you doing some research?
No.
Can I catch up on the comments?
Yeah, I just liked Stephen's comment, because Will came and said, have I missed anything? He said, you missed Mr. C's mute switch not working. You should have heard what he said when he thought we couldn't hear.
I said, hello.
He's stirring, getting you into trouble. The things that you say.
I now do jingles on request.
So I might as well just do that whole thing again, because
yeah.
I ruined it.
I don't know where you were going. Sorry, I was genuinely enjoying what you were saying.
No, you weren't.
And then you stopped. No, I wasn't enjoying it. I don't know why it turned out, really.
The launch led straight into the first week of testing in Barcelona, which was the second week of testing overall, because we had 1 week in Jerez, but Barcelona gets 2 weeks. Like you mentioned, it was all about the tyres. And they got all the testing headlines, really. Pirelli were under fire for the high levels of degradation. In Jerez, the drivers were complaining, and it was, we put it down to the track surface being not very good.
Indeed, yes, it was falling to pieces.
And no one really seemed to mind, because we're not going to race there anyway.
Right.
So we'll just sweep that under the carpet. But here in Barcelona, there is going to be a race here. And although they said it was because of the lower temperatures, I think there was quite a lot of concern about how quickly the tyres were going off.
I do recall this, the very same complaints being raised this time last year. And the season worked out perfectly fine. It started, there was, at the beginning of the season, there was there were mixed up results, and the team struggled to come to terms with exactly what Pirelli had given them. But by the end of the season, the races had calmed down significantly as the engineers and the designers got on top of the data that they had to work with and learnt all about the Pirelli. So there may be a lot of fuss right now, and it may be, you know, they may be claiming all of the headlines, and it may be the talk of the town. But I would give it, you know, two or three races, and things will settle down, and you know, everybody will have these complaints will have been forgotten very quickly as soon as people get on top of, you know, as soon as the drivers understand them and can make the most out of what they've got. All, you know, these complaints will go away.
And of course, they're heading straight to Australia, where it is going to be a bit warmer, because all it did in Barcelona was rain. Really, there were at least 3 days of rainy testing, and the drivers did try out the wet tyres a little bit. But mostly they just hid in the garage.
The cowards! So you would have thought some rookies would have relished the chance to get some wet running in, because the simulators, as good as Formula One simulators are at the moment, I would suggest that wet weather testing is one of their weaknesses. And to get out there intermediate tyres, all the full wet tyres, and to see what your car does underneath you, when you had a limited amount of mileage, that's a major advantage to any rookie. And if their running was curtailed due to concerns over, you know, potential cockpit due to potential chassis damage, that would be a shame. That would be a loss to all the rookies who have already got a lot to learn in a very short space of time.
I mean, some did go out, but I thought it was quite telling. The specific example I can think of is Williams, who decided to use the afternoon to practice pit stops for a whole afternoon with both their drivers. They had the full race crew in, and they did pit stop after pit stop after pit stop, and that's all they did.
There is the Williams have
I didn't know their pit stops were that bad.
It's not that they're bad. I think they have, there may be there were rumors that they've got some kind of special wheel nut on the Williams that requires more experimentation, and they need more, they have more to learn, because there should be there's likely to be more because this season is likely to see more tire changes, and there'll be more pit stops, especially at the start of the season. The speed of a pit stop is becoming ever more crucial, and this is going to be where races are very much won and lost. And if teams have found a way to reduce the already lightning fast pit stops even further, I think McLaren have the ultimate all time pit stop record, but that may even be broken in 2013. Teams are looking at things like the wheel nuts and the way that the rims are removed and replaced, in order to gain some lap time, to gain some pit stop time. And if Williams have found something that no other team has, that may require more practice and more rehearsal, then they could be a wise move to put that practice in during testing.
Can you add to your list to make the audio player more obvious somehow?
The what?
The audio player. Because we always have a lot of... Jackie has just been trying to find it for ages, and I just think it's quite small and... not obvious.
Yeah, there's a plan to make it awesome, really awesome, which is why it's like...
Can we move that up the list?
I'll try, yeah. Yeah, okay. The thing is, once you find it, you find it. It's just the first time is always a struggle, right?
Mm-hmm.
No? Yeah, fine.
Well, it depends. If we only do them once a month, then I'd have forgotten by the time I came back.
Yeah, okay. Fine, I'm moving up the list. It's on the dashboard, it's easy to see. It's massive.
Yeah, but the dashboard is all kinds of broken.
Everything's broken, including my mute switch.
Oh, diddums. Don't look at me like that. Uh-oh, I've upset him now. He might switch me off.
You've upset me, Jackie's upset me.
What?
Giving me more work to do. She comes along, pops up in the comments. Aww. First time I've heard from her in ages, she's given me a list of things to work on.
Yeah,
Jackie.
The way it should be.
Jackie.
Long live Jackie.
Audio player is too meek. Bassano. Oh.
Long
is this
Bassano.
Get on Mr. C's case date or something? What the...
Aw, bless you. Right.
I'm harassed. I need some more wine. This wine is not going to last the show.
Stressful show for you.
Well, it's a relaxed show. It's not a show that requires Red Bull. It's a show that, you know, I've genuinely got my feet up today. I'm taking it easy, but people are out to get me.
People are out to get you.
The audio player is too meek.
Right. Okay. I don't think there was anything major to be read into testing, really. The first couple of weeks, lots of teams had some gremlins and then they got over them. Lotus seemed quite fast. Everyone in the paddock seemed to be saying Mercedes had quite a lot of surprising speed, or a surprising amount of speed. One thing I did think was interesting was Raikkonen when he called in sick. Now, some people were saying, oh, what conspiracy theories can we read into this? I don't think so. I think Kimi was probably just a bit ill and decided not to come in. But what was amazing about it was Grosjean having to jump back in a plane. He'd gone home to Paris the night before, but super subbed his way back in and was in the car in the afternoon. What a hero.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't have Grosjean down as a superhero type.
The problem I do have is his name is not snappy enough for superhero status, because I was thinking Super Grosjean. No, that doesn't work. Or Rogro Man. Remain. The best I can come up with.
Rogro Man?
The best I can come up with.
Sounds like Weed Killer.
Is Romaine Man, because it's a bit like Main Man, but it's not. And also, but that's. It's
he
just
is the Romaine Man.
The Romaine
no, I
man.
Like that.
It's just not snappy enough. That's the problem.
Rogro.
Did you know, by the way, we'll get on to the specifics later, but I have 4 French people in Formula One this year. Amazing.
Oh, yeah, you have. Well, how are you going to decide between them?
That's
the bigger
be tricky.
Question, though.
Back to testing, though. There was one specific complaint I wanted to make. The teams all do the running out of fuel on purpose thing. They call it fuel system testing.
Mm-hmm. And unnecessary evil.
I can see why they have to do it. They need to know the levels and when they're going to run out, especially because there's no refueling, so you need to make sure your car is topped up to the specific amount. But they go out on track and then they run out of fuel and then it brings out a red flag and they do it all inopportune moments throughout the day.
Yes.
And I just think it's really unfair on everyone else because it takes up their time. It stops them in their own momentum, their own schedules.
Yep.
And I understand they have to do it, but can't they have their own separate little 10 minutes of testing time or something? There must be a better way of doing it.
There must. Okay, I agree. I can see why it would bug you and I can see why it would bug the teams. I would love anybody in the comments, anybody listening, to come up with a better system than they currently have. Here's where I think the problem may lie. You could say at the end of the day there will be a half hour session where everybody can run out of fuel. But if you're desperately trying to see exactly the moment your car fails to pick up what's left in the tank, and another team stop on track whilst you're at the very, very limit, the red flag is going to come out and you're going to have to come back in.
Oh, yeah.
Then you're going to have to top up your car again with another batch of fuel and send your car out. And just as you're coming down to the very, very, just as you're running on fumes, another team, their car will stop, so the red flag will come out. This is going to go on and on and on and on. It's going to take an awful long time for every team to do their fuel test simulation.
What if they all ran behind the safety car and then if they ran out of fuel, they get out of the way and the safety car just takes them round?
There isn't a safety car. There is
well,
no
there
safety
should
car
be
during
one.
Testing.
They can bring one. I don't know. I just thought it was, it just seems like, I can understand the reasoning why they do it and it is an important test, but it just seemed really unfair and stopping and starting everyone else's. Because you don't
it
know what other
like,
people are doing.
Does,
they might have been doing a race simulation.
Well, some were. So for sure, there will be teams who are on a race simulation who have their simulation messed up. But when you go testing, that's what you expect. And it could be that you're in the midst of a race simulation and somebody throws it into the barriers. And you cannot account for that. You just have to deal with it. And that is, it's the same for every single team who take part in testing in that manner. But you are correct. I think that this is a problem that could be solved. It must be a solvable. I mean, it's not a major problem in the grand scheme of the whole Formula One season. But if anybody out there was of a creative mind and felt they could resolve this problem, do let us know. Do let us know how you would solve this this minor hiccup. that happens occasionally during testing.
All right.
I can't downplay how insignificant it is.
It's the middle class problems of Formula One, okay? I didn't say it was important. I just said it annoyed me. If people want to get in touch with us, you can email me, christine@sopodcast.com, or you can use the contact form, sopodcast.com/contact.
Smug face.
My contact form. Oh dear.
I'm sorry.
That's no good.
They could have a contest to see who runs out of fuel behind the safety car first. And Little Purple
Who said, runs out last?
Sorry, who runs out last? And Little Purple God said, isn't that IndyCar? That's genius. That's so mean. I love it. I nearly choked on my wine. That's racing knowledge, that is. I like it. You want a sweeper?
Yeah, go on then. Along with Pirelli, the other headline-grabbing news during the 2 weeks of testing was the reappearance of one Adrian Sutil.
Oh, God, he's back.
Now, the former Force India driver was back in the frame for the rogue Force India seat. We all thought it was going to go to Jules Bianchi, and we've been talking about that for ages and how they were just holding out to negotiate with Ferrari. But then it seemed suddenly there was this shootout between both Sutil and Bianchi. So we adapted our conspiracy theories and decided that they were just negotiating harder and saying, look, we'll get Sutil back in. And then, like, the next day, there he was, announced second chance in F1. Sutil is the other Force India driver this year.
I'm guessing you're not glad to see the guy back.
Well, no.
Formula One really is the second chance saloon, but isn't it? There are so many people who've done so many bad things in this sport, and they all get to come back, and all of their misdemeanors are instantly forgotten the minute they walk back in the paddock. And Sutil is just one of many.
Well, yeah, on the one hand, it's second chance saloon, and then on the other hand, it really isn't, because there are loads of drivers that aren't getting their chance. People are getting second chances, other people aren't getting first chances. It's an argument that we've had over and over again. Sutil was very happy, exceedingly grateful to get his second chance. He said, if you never make mistakes, you will never grow. I don't think there's a single person here who never made a mistake. My one was maybe a different one and was very public, but the other ones are probably even worse, but no one is even talking about it. Worse? I'm not sure about that.
You would have to go, even in Formula One, you'd have to go some to find a person who'd overstepped the mark more than Adrian Sutil. You're going to make any more noise while I'm talking?
Sorry.
The real question is this the best decision for the Force India team? Is Adrian Sutil going to provide them with more points come the end of the season than Jules Bianchi would have? Well, and you probably have to say he will do.
Yes, I think he will do. I mean, I don't know what the money situation is. Mm-hmm. Sutil had some quite high profile sponsors. He still has Capri Sun on his hat.
Yep.
Still has
Formula One driver's hat.
Medion. Mm-hmm. I think. Does he still have those? Yep. So maybe he does come with a shed load of cash. And he does have, I mean, the team said they wanted the history and the experience, and he knows what he's doing and he can fit right in. And I guess if you're leaving it to this late for a driver to jump in the car, you're going to need a bit of experience.
I think one thing to keep in mind is that Adrian Sutil's one saving grace in this is Kimi Raikkonen. Because if you looked at the previous comeback king prior to Raikkonen's successful return last year, it was Michael Schumacher, and he had not had a great run. And there were question marks over whether a Formula One driver could ever return successfully after time away from the sport. Kimi Raikkonen was away for a period, he came back, and he hasn't lost any of his pace. He's actually probably got more pace than when he left. He has proven that missing out on a year of racing doesn't slow you at all. So therefore, when Force India were looking at Adrian Sutil, they could say, well, he's lost one season, but that may not slow him down.
Well, one season isn't the end of the world. I mean, there's lots of drivers that have done it quite recently. Glock had some time out and came back, didn't he? And Grosjean even had some time out and came back, I think. But I'm not sure that Sutil has done any racing in his year off. I would assume he was preoccupied with other things.
I haven't actually heard anything about it. So what you're saying is Kimi Raikkonen continued rallying. He was out there racing.
He kept his eye in.
Hmm.
I'm not sure that Sutil has.
So do you think Adrian Sutil will give Paul di Resta a run for his money?
Well, I'm not convinced that Paul de Resta's heart is in it anymore. I think he Well, I think he wants to
leave.
Yeah, he really wants to leave. He doesn't like the team anymore, and I think that he's either going to overdrive it and so therefore not do very well, or he's just going to get frustrated very quickly and not do very well. So either way, that's sort of a lose-lose situation in my mind. I'm sure I'm going to be wrong. I always am. But Adrian isn't worried about being back with Paul de Resta because they were teammates in 2011. He referenced the fact that he finished ahead of him in that season. So
wasn't that Paul's first season?
Yeah.
In Formula One? That's hardly a surprise. I would say the upper hand is definitely with Paul de Resta. There is, I would like to allocate some post-podcast homework to all the listeners. I would like anybody out there to find one complimentary thing, one truly complimentary thing that Paul de Resta has said about Force India since the end of last season. Just find me one example of anything where he's gone out of his way to say something nice about them. Because after being overlooked for the Sauber seat in favour of Hülkenberg, the guy has not been pleased. He's not been best pleased with where he is.
No. I mean, I think it was only one or two comments that I saw, and then I've just got it into my head that now he's in a real grumpy place. And I just like... the image of that. I mean, it's an interesting story. But also, whenever they've asked him, oh, how is it affecting you not having a teammate? And he's like, no, I'm just concentrating on what I'm doing. It doesn't bother me at all. Because you kind of get the feeling he's not in it for the team game.
He doesn't care. He's out to prove himself. He's out to show all of the other potential faster teams that he is somebody that needs to be picked up. In that area, Adrian Sutil is a better benchmark for Paul de Resta to prove himself than, say, Jules Bianchi would have been. Because, obviously, against a rookie, you'd expect Paul to completely dominate the guy. And against Adrian Sutil, you'd expect him to have a slightly harder time of it. So that could work in Paul's favour.
I think I upset Stephen with that. Not that his heart is not in Formula One. His heart is not in it where he's at. And who can blame him? Because that team is bizarre beyond belief.
It is a bit of a disastrous team.
Lucky coconuts. It all went wrong.
That's not what you're saying at all, is it? Yeah, no, I understand what Stephen thought you said. No,
yeah, I didn't mean that.
No, his heart is definitely in Formula One. His heart is.
He wants bigger and better, and who can blame him?
McLaren, I'd imagine, or Ferrari.
Well, I think his heart was set on Mercedes.
Do you?
That's what I think, and I think that went out the window
when Hamilton
quite quickly.
Yeah, but the thing with then you can see that Mercedes would want to go with Lewis Hamilton because of everything that Lewis brings, but. Why would Sauber want to go with Hülkenberg? That would be, if I was Paul de Resta, I'd be looking at Hülkenberg and saying, "Well, I'm that guy's equal. I'm as every bit as fast as Nico Hülkenberg. Why did they pick him over me? We were both in the same car.
Yeah,
last year. So I think the Hülkenberg thing is maybe a bigger chip on his shoulder.
Poor Paul. Sutil's sudden placement at the Force India team meant that Jules Bianchi was without a drive for all of 24 hours before he was snapped up by Marussia, who we thought already had their driver lineup sorted. But it turns out Luis Razia was ousted and Jules Bianchi was in. The rumour has it, or is it a known fact, that his Razia's backers weren't paying up, so... They had to do what they had to do. Terminated his contract.
I do not believe, I, Mr. C, Offside Podcast, do not believe that it is any coincidence that the second Jules Bianchi wasn't given the Force India seat, that he was snapped up by Marussia. Now, if the tables, if the chips had, what's the word for it? If the seats had fallen differently, if Sutil hadn't got the drive and Bianchi had, how much more time would Razia have been given to find the funds that he promised? I totally get that he didn't do what he promised to do, but at the same time he was working incredibly hard to resolve that situation, and I don't think Marussia gave him as much time as he was expecting the second that they heard Jules Bianchi, who has some money behind him. He has Ferrari for a small amount of money from Ferrari, not as much as Force India would have liked, but that he has backing. The second he was a free agent, Marussia swooped in. They did not hesitate, and I do not believe that's a coincidence. If he wasn't on the market, then Razia may have had a longer time or an easier time of securing the seat. And
he might have actually started the season, at least.
Well, it's hard to say. It's pure speculation. But those two events No doubt Bianchi had been talking to Marussia before, but was holding out for the Force India seat. Obviously, that's much better. It's a much better place to be.
Well,
as bad as Force India are. Well, no, as bad as Force India are, they're an awful lot. It's a faster car, and the team is slightly better managed, and I would assume slightly better off financially than Marussia. Although that is a great, that is an amazing fight going on to be who is the most broke team in Formula One right now.
The thing about Force India is it's all a bit mysterious. It's all a bit whimsical. You can't really tell who's bringing the money, what is going on there. People are having their assets frozen. Vijay Mallya is promising billions from nowhere, whereas at least Marussia, they're being quite clinical, quite open about it, and saying
that this don't have any money.
This is a business. We have an obligation to all the people in the factory. We need the money, so we've done what we had to do. And they have said, I mean, they've been very specific to say, we don't have a problem with Razzia. We'd have him back in a minute if we could. It's just, you know, that's how it had to be. And for his part, I mean, it must have been a reasonably amicable split, as amicable as these things can be, because Razzia said, I understand the position of Marussia and I like the team. They treated me very nicely there. And to be honest, they were trying to sort out the situation for me. It's also fair to say Bianchi had a difficult situation. And to be honest, he deserved the drive. Presumably, he doesn't mean he deserved it over him, but that he also deserves a place in Formula One. So he is a nice guy. And
That's okay. I'm down with that. But let's not forget that Marussia, in the space of three months, have breached two of their drivers' contracts. They cancelled Glock's long-term commitment to the team. That was torn up and thrown out the window.
Oh, yeah.
Then along came Razzia. That was torn up and thrown out the window. If you're pitching on who is the worst managed, who is the most mismanaged team in Formula One, it's a fight. It is a fight between Force India and Marussia. But I think you'll find that Marussia are the more mismanaged, for want of a non-slanderous phrase.
I forgot about Glock. That's terrible.
They are. It's been disastrous. It's been a disastrous winter for Marussia. Bless them. They're trying their best. And they've got a technical partnership with McLaren, which should be helping them out. And they should, with that, at least be able to take the fight to Caterham. But that is the only positive thing they have going for them. They've got two rookies, one of whom has barely had a minute's seat time in their car. And who was he up to? Did we hear somewhere he was up to like 2 o'clock in the morning getting his seat fitted overnight? A job that usually takes 6 hours was being rushed into three just to get the guy to fit into the car. It's a terrible, terrible situation that the team find themselves in. And what a mixed up bag of drivers we've got going into the 2013 season. How many rookies are out there? How many people have real race experience in a Formula One car? It is going to be carnage in Melbourne. You're looking at me.
No. I was just thinking.
You were dwelling on that.
Was all that going in the show? Because I was clicking about and all sorts.
If you can edit in, you can. If not, then don't. Okay. You can leave it where you left it. I don't mind.
I thought we were done. I apologise.
I just speak. Wind me up and watch me talk.
Yeah, and it's not easy. I mean, it's not difficult to wind you up. not yet. In the comments, Will has pointed out in capital letters and bold, this is a positive tweet from Paul de Resta.
No.
On the 1st of February 2013.
Rubbish.
Good to get back in the car today. Short run ahead of RF. All my team are on good form at Club Force. Thanks for all the support. 3!
Damn that. Okay, I take my criticism back. I rescind my complaints. Maybe he's not as... maybe we've just forced that opinion on him.
I think I'm projecting that onto
you
are. Him.
You projected that your own
disappointment. It makes for a fun story.
Yes. With no evidence whatsoever. Thank you, Will.
Will. Ruining our fun and games.
Oh, what with his pesky evidence?
I know. Oh. He's Twitter fact.
What a homework swap Will is. I bet he did that in his lunch break.
What?
It's homework.
Oh.
You didn't even wait to get home.
Don't be... Now you're just now, you're taking it too far now. I used to do that.
Oh, you... Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. Does that surprise anybody out there? I can feel a lot of people nodding.
I hate you. That's it. That's all I've got in, okay, in actual, like, news. Didn't you just do that?
I said, do you want a sweep? And you said, not yet.
And then I said, now you can have a sweep. But didn't you do it then?
Oh, did I?
I don't know. I thought you did when we were going, well.
No sweeper recently. No sweepers recently. Only one positive in all that time. Yeah. Maybe somebody pointed that out to him.
What, by the way, you're being a big grump.
You don't really like your team anymore, do you?
Bless him. It's totally understandable, too. I mean, Force India, what are they on?
But they're not the... Marussia is the worst.
I like Marussia better, that's all. Why? I can say.
Why?
Well, I just think the Marussia are more open and honest than Force India. I think Force India are weird and mysterious.
Do you not think, though, that perhaps nobody at the factory, the Force India factory, has any clue either? So Marussia know they don't have any money, and everybody at the factory is absolutely open because they are all aware of this situation. The Force India people cannot be, what's the word for it, like, my brain is not working. Wine, you see. The Force India team cannot be any more explanatory? That's not the word.
Explicit?
Yeah, they cannot tell you anything because they don't know anything. That's all I'm thinking. You know, if Mally says you can have $50 million and he doesn't say where it's going to come from, maybe he hasn't told them where it's going to come from. So maybe they're thinking, are we going to get $50
million? Mally is included as the Force India whole that I'm talking about.
But if he's not talking to them...
Yeah. Well, why isn't he talking? That's included.
Because he's got bigger problems on his hands than a Formula One team.
Yeah, well, exactly. Yeah. That's what I mean. As a whole, I just prefer Marussia to Force India. I'm sorry.
Right. So what else you got for me if you haven't got any other things? Have we missed anything? We should ask the comments quickly. Is there anything out there that we should absolutely be discussing about Formula One ahead of the season? Because I feel like we've not...
I mean, we obviously brushed over testing quite a lot, but that's because it was a couple of weeks ago.
You can't... yeah. Is there anything going into Melbourne? Any knowns or unknowns that we should discuss?
Are we doing a show next week?
Yeah. Why not?
And we don't need to do our predictions and stuff yet.
No.
Except for everyone sending in their predictions. They need it. I need you to do that.
Has Will sent in his yet?
Will did, yeah.
Yeah, I would have put money on that.
Oh! You're so mean. Will, don't listen to him. Oh, that's harsh.
Alan Wynish, Alan Wynish is really, really, really exciting news.
Here's how the conversation went.
Yes.
You said, can we talk about Alan Wynish at Five Live? And I said, are you going to listen to it?
No.
What are we going to say about it then? It is exciting.
He's awesome.
Up to a point, but
how many
people actually listen to Five Live? That's the question.
Well, less now than in the past. You're right, I can't... Alan Wynish, on his own, Alan Wynish would be the steal of the century, but he is partnered with...
If the peeps want to talk about it, we can talk about it.
Okay, cool. Do drop me in somewhere then. Give me.
I've got to drop you in it, have I?
Drop me in it. Go on. Does DRS favour cars running Mercedes engines? I have some recollection that I had a conversation with Jackie at the end of the season about this, but I for the life of me can't remember what it was. Hold on. DRS.
No, you need to ask about that.
Yeah, Jackie, you're going to have to remind me. There was something she said about the top. Was it? The top speed of the Mercedes is better in a thing and somebody changed the DRS zone. Oh, that's so fun. That was like last year. My brain, I'm racking. No, you're going to have to explain it to me, Jackie. Sorry.
Why would it? I'm too stupid to even understand the question.
There was talk that the FIA, we had a discussion on the show, I think, that the FIA were able to tweak the DRS zones right up to the last minute and were able to manipulate the championship by closing up the field. Or adjusting, favouring one team over another at the last minute.
Okay.
That was a discussion we had somewhere.
Right.
May not have been in the podcast, may have been in the comments. But I don't know how that changes this season, because there's just more of them, but you can't use in qualifying. Five Live needs someone from Russia to... If you want a contract torn up, call Marasha.
So true.
Okay, go for it.
The BBC recently announced their plans for the coming season. It's very much more of the same of what they've been doing. They've only got 9 races live this year. They'll have highlights for everything else. Radio 5 Live are going to have every single race broadcast live. Oh, and they have, for the races that the BBC are going to broadcast live, they're going to have live practice as well, which I thought they did already. So I'm not quite sure why that was exciting.
No, it's very exciting. For this year in the UK, this is for UK specific, but we must talk about NBC as well after this. Remind me. Don't let me forget NBC. The BBC will be broadcasting free practice on BBC Two in some circumstances this year. And that means free practice will be in HD, not tucked away on some obscure channel in the upper regions of the bandwidth. And that means we get higher quality. And because it's more important, I don't know whether we'll get a different commentary team or not. I haven't looked into that. But if we get the 5 Live commentary over free practice, as we've had in previous seasons, that means we get to hear Alan McNish. And Alan McNish, as we know, as we have discussed for years and years and years and years and years, is as good behind the microphone as he is behind the wheel. And he's very, very good behind the wheel.
Yes, I think it's always slightly disappointing when a driver ends up signing a long-term contract to do broadcasting thing, because it sort of means they don't have enough to do out on track. But equally, it's Alan McNish and it's awesome.
Well, Anthony Davison, remember, used to do the same job for 5 Live, and he managed to double that up with duties in endurance racing.
True.
And therefore, I'm assuming Alan McNish has looked at that model and figured he could probably do the same. Endurance racing, although the races are very long, they are few and far between. So therefore, there's more downtime between races in which Alan can contribute. The very good news, apart from being an excellent co-commentator and a genius at explaining Formula One, is that he is an ex-Formula One driver. He is a current race driver, so he has that experience, and he's not Jaime Alguersuari. Now, I like DJ Squire. I really do. I think he's a great guy, but I genuinely didn't understand the bleeding word he said last year.
The trouble he has is he couldn't, whether it was his accent or whatever, there wasn't a lot of excitement and oomph in it, and the combination of him and JA just didn't work. Oh, 2 JAs. I must say, better even than Alan McNish joining a commentary team is Sir Frank Montagny becoming a pit lane correspondent for the French channels.
Yes, Frank Montagny is French Ted Kravitz.
Oh, amazing.
But my life can't see any of it. Well, how is your life complete? You cannot watch any of the French broadcasts.
Yes, but he has been invisible for about 3 years, and now he exists again.
Well, what I'm noticing,
this is a step up.
I am noticing a trend here, and that is endurance racers go on to become Formula One commentators.
That's true. Yeah.
Anyway, I have to say, I have a lot of respect and a lot of love for Alan McNish. I think he's a great signing to 5 Live. I thought when he was driving for Toyota, his explanations of very technical things about Formula One were second to none. It really did. It was every conversation was an enlightening lesson into the intricacies of motorsport. And I hope that he hasn't lost any of that. I hope he brings that to the season. And I will go on record and say he is so good. His qualities outweigh James Allen's negatives. And so I may actually tune in to some of that commentary.
That will
be a treat.
A Dear Diary moment.
Indeed.
And so we have to mention NBC.
You reminded me, yes.
I did.
It already had fallen out
of
my head.
I saw it go.
NBC in America, it's all change in the States. And this year I've seen some bits of what they are proposing to deliver. There was a preview this week they put out, Countdown to F1, I think it was called. Caught some bits of it, looked very good, very very polished, very well produced. I think America has got a lot to look forward to this season. It may even surpass what we can see in the UK, especially in the UK. The BBC are only showing, I think, 9 races this season. And so you'll find that in the States you get a much better coverage of Formula One than some people are able to get here. And that's a first. That hasn't been the case for a while. So keep an eye on what NBC are doing. It looks like they're putting more money into into Formula One than has been the case than America's seen in the past. And it should be good. I have high hopes. And, you know, it may end up in disappointment, and you may come back at the end of the year and say, that was a terrible year of coverage, Mr. C. I don't know what you were talking about. And for that, I apologise. But just in case it isn't, just in case it's brilliant, I can say I told you so.
And we would like our US correspondents to keep us up to date with what's happening and what it's like. And yeah, because we had a great post from Kai, didn't we? Wondering what was going to happen and pondering the changes, whether they might be good or bad. And we'd like to know, when it does start, how it is received.
It's all changed right the way across the globe, be it French coverage, be it British coverage, be it American coverage. I think Italian, the Italian has gone to pay-per-view recently as well. The Formula One coverage is in upheaval across the globe. There's a lot of changes going on. Some people will win, some people will lose. And we'll see what comes out of it.
Although I would say, we don't necessarily want to know, oh, I don't like this commentator and I don't like that one, because people have always said that when we have the BBC coverage and the ITV coverage, that we've been very lucky and it's some of the best coverage in the world. But what we really want is the mechanics of it, because everything is changing and things are going digital and HD and all that. That's the bits that we're interested in, not necessarily the physical personnel, although Alan McNish, winner.
Good stuff. That was a great topic from the comments. That was worth asking, I think.
Yeah, I take it back. Also, you lied, because I said, are you going to listen? You said no. And after talking about that, you decided you will listen.
Well, I talked myself in. Did you hear? If you listen back to the podcast, you can hear me talking myself into it. Because what happens was, in my head, I went, yeah, I remember him talking about when he was in Toyota. He was really, really good. Every time Martin Brundle talked to him on the grid, I listened to every word. Wow, he was brilliant. Oh, well, maybe I'll listen. I might listen. I will listen. Okay. And that you can, if you listen back, you'll hear it all, because that's what just happened right inside my head.
Whilst the comments did come up with a great subject, they now appear to be talking about being mushed and squished. So swings and roundabouts, I think.
Did we bore them? We bored them with their own subject.
One more sweeper then, unless you already did that.
Can you not hear my sweepers?
I forget. I'm stupid. So it has been a really busy off-season for us. It's sort of been manic from the minute the checkered flag dropped in Brazil. And like you said, I'm really looking forward to the racing to begin, mostly just so we can have a rest.
What? You're resting during the season? That's not going to happen, Missy. Listen.
Well, okay.
I know you've been busy. I'll give you a week off. I'll tell you what, from now until Friday free practice, you can have... Well, it's not quite a week, is it?
And also,
it's 6 days.
That's not going to happen, because I could list off the things I have to do between now and then. But I won't, because that would be boring.
Have a day off.
What I am going to do
is... Take the afternoon off. Take tomorrow afternoon off. Have a lunch break.
Okay. What I'm going to do is tell you some of the exciting things we've launched on the site recently, because where often we are working behind the scenes and it never really shows up on the site, and you probably all think we're not actually doing anything and just lying in the sun drinking cocktails. Actually... all of it has been building up to, the last couple of weeks, we released at least three new things.
Well, what happened is you released your book, actually, and that sort of, everything else flowed beyond that. And
yes.
I think let's talk about your book first, because everything will follow after that. You have written another 50,000 words during the off-season, and you've released it, and it's available to buy now. Am I correct?
Yes, the Pocket F1 Handbook that I released last year, a guide to the season. It has returned for 2013, a brand new edition, all nice and shiny, with 22 drivers, 11 teams, all the tracks covered, a little bit of a profile on everything, really, everything you can expect from the coming season. And you can carry it in your pocket on your favourite device, be it a Kindle, something that plays a Kindle app. You don't play an app, do you? Host an app, have an app. Or your iDevice, anything.
The much like last year's book, it follows on the trend that you started with last year's book, but it's bigger and it's better in every way. And what I love about this particular edition of your book, because it's digital, because it hasn't gone to a printing press and hasn't had to be it's mailed out to bookstores all over the world, it isn't out of date, despite some very last minute changes from Formula One, despite the calendar losing. It's rumoured 20th race, despite the fact that it's all change at Marussia and it's all change at Force India. Your book is absolutely bang up to date today. And that's mega. That is highlighting the very advantages of ebooks over paperback books. You couldn't do that if you were going through the whole rigmarole of a printing press. And I think, despite the chaos and upheaval it's caused you, and all the extra stress and rewrites and all the work you've had to put in to keep up with the Formula One's ever-changing lineup of races and drivers and all sorts, I think it really does highlight the true benefits of digital publications.
Yeah, this pre-season has been absolutely ridiculous. Mm. There was a bonus race, then that bonus race disappeared, then there was a fourth India seat that no one had, then we all thought Bianchi was going to have it, and then Sutil got it in the end, and then Russia have changed their driver 17 times. Mm. Yeah, it's been crazy. But I did like the comparison, and it's not fair to compare because they do have to go to press, but was it the BBC season guide has HRT in their 24 drivers? It's bit awkward.
We haven't bought a copy of it, being a physical book, but I think if you read on Amazon the preview, the sales pitch, it suggests that the book contains information on 20 races, 24 drivers, and 12 teams.
None of which is correct.
Absolutely. I don't think, if you read the blurb that goes with that book, not one, there isn't a single fact in there that it remains correct at this time.
Yeah. And it has
a week
been
before the start of the season. It's been that chaotic, and you can't fault the failures of print publication. But side by side, comparing your book to the BBC's efforts, it's not, there's a night and day comparison between what you can buy and what you get for your money.
Yes, there's more information on the book at christineblashford.com, or you can search on Amazon for my name. There's a nice little collection of books growing there. It's quite fun.
Will there be a link in the show notes too?
Oh, you know there will, and there's links in all kinds of sidebars. You can't really get away from it, and you just have to buy it to stop yourself feeling guilty.
Much, much like phoning in your predictions. Buying this book, I think, is obligatory to anybody listening to this show. If you're a side podcast listener, I think you owe it to yourself. If you're a side podcast listener, you are clearly already hip and happening to all the digital to digital media and all the advantages of listening to on-demand publications. You're not listening to the traditional radio. You're not listening to television. You're downloading a podcast and you're listening to it on your own time and your own in your own schedule. Therefore, you are already perfectly geared up to join the ebook revolution. If you're still thinking, I prefer paperbacks, I really like the physical book, that's not going to happen with your book. You are very, very much digital only. And I think it's a perfect fit with side podcast listeners because, you know, that is the same mindset that goes into subscribing to this podcast, is the same kind of mindset that will lead you down to the path of ebooks. You're looking puzzled now. Did I lose you?
No.
Sorry. It just occurred to me that there's a great match. If you've gone to the, you know, you, not a lot of people, even now, subscribe to podcasts because it's still slightly esoteric compared to putting on your TV or tuning in the radio, your FM radio. and so if you've already made that step into owning an iPod or a mobile phone or whatever, then whatever you're listening to this podcast on, you can read your book on.
True story. Just trying to understand what they are talking about.
Oh, I'm not reading the comments. I got lost at the moosh.
Yeah. Bizarre.
And that was the point I stopped scrolling. I might catch up in a minute.
Okay.
Is there anything else I want to say to books? Because I was going to mention reviews. Or are you done with books?
What were you going to say about reviews?
If you like the book, review it. That was it, really. Reviews are awesome.
Okay, you can say that if you want, but you just finished talking.
I did. I forgot to mention it. It doesn't matter.
Next time. Next week.
Now I'll let you talk about new stuff on the site. The Beeb isn't going to main print until Tuesday, as I understand it. I don't know what any of that means. Little Purple Goth, you must be talking about something else. Hold on a second. Let me put the link in the comments.
The book is definitely available.
Yeah, it's been printed for ages. Let me show you. Hold on. What's it called? I know it's by Bruce.
The official BBC Sport Guide, Formula One 2013. Right. What else? I have to keep talking because otherwise we get told off.
Sorry, yeah. I just want to copy and paste this into the comments so you can see what I mean.
Also, there's another one there called BBC Sport World Formula One Records 2013.
Okay. I haven't seen that one.
Is that like Guinness World Records, but different? Also by Bruce James. Oh, he cares about that man.
He's a busy man.
He's written two books in the time it's taken me to.
You're slacking!
I know. Terrible business. Okay. I'm still.
Done. Sorry, I was as quick as I could. Sorry, I didn't put a link to the book. Hold on.
Okay, I'll hold on again.
Sorry. That's what it says. That's the blurb that goes with it. And that's not the link. Ugh. I can't multitask. What did I think this was a good idea? There we go. Okay, that's a link. That looks like a link.
Do you know how to use the internet?
Yeah, but not whilst dodging a microphone. Right. If you follow that link, that will take you to the BBC's season preview, which is so woefully out of date. I don't even know how... I don't know, what day would you have had to start writing that preview to think that HRT were going to make this season? Because we knew two races before the end of the 2012 season that they weren't going to be here in 2013. I mean, you have to start writing it in September. Yeah.
I can't remember.
They didn't have any parts to race.
Oh, that's true.
They ran out of brakes.
It was questionable. I don't know that we knew.
I think it was a given at the last race that that was their very last race. Okay. Right. We're all back on topic. We're all sussed.
Good. Okay.
I just like the fact that yours is up to date. That's all I'm saying. I like that when you pay for yours, you get free updates and everything. And that's brilliant.
Well, we try.
Oh, is that still... Is Amazon not coming back to you about that one?
Not yet.
Okay. If you bought...
4 weeks. I mean, it's ridiculous. It takes them less than 24 hours to publish the book, but to review it, it takes 4 weeks. It's just one page of update. Oh, it's really annoying.
If you bought Christine's book on iTunes, you'll get a free update today.
If you haven't bought the book yet, you'll get the perfect one.
You'll get the latest and greatest. Which
if
is
you have bought it, then your iBook store will update. Your Amazon one is in review. Don't get me started.
Might update within a month when Amazon get around to it. Thanks very much. But you've done everything you can do.
I have.
You've just got to wait for them. Yeah.
Right.
Right. Good. What else? Now you can talk about new stuff on the site.
Okay, I will.
That was
thanks. So I was busy launching a book, but you have been busy creating new features on the site, things that we've been working on for a while, and finally they've come to fruition. First up being the F1 Encyclopedia, which is sort of the same as the preview book, a lot smaller, and it's specifically tailored to our site. So every driver, every team, every circuit has a page, and then it picks up wherever we talk about them on the site.
And this is the longest... That's not the right word.
Encyclopedia ever?
No. This is the longest sentence ever.
The longest pause ever.
This is one of the longest development concepts we have ever worked on. The Cyberpodcast Encyclopedia, I think we worked out between us perhaps 18 months ago that we wanted to make this. And that so many changes were required across so many different parts of the site that it's taken all of this time just to get it to a previewable state that it's in now. And there's still so much more work to do on it. There's at least another 18 months worth of work to go to get it to where we want it to be. But it's viewable. It's decent enough that people can make use of it now. They can delve into it and they can see the kind of things that they can find things on Side. They can find things on Side Podcast that otherwise would have been slightly harder to find in the past. So one thing that came to mind last year, I was trying to find on which podcast we talked about Romain Grosjean. And I couldn't, it was very hard to say, we've talked about this driver in this context, in this instance. And the Cypodcast Encyclopedia allows you to delve in. You can pick a driver, you can pick your favorite driver, your favorite team. You can pick a circuit and you can see all the times that's been mentioned across the site, be it in posts, be it in the rankings.
Fact box.
All sorts of, we've integrated podcast transcripts. Every single facet of the site has been amalgamated into this F1 Encyclopedia to give you a central point. When you know you're looking for a specific piece of information about a specific thing, be it a driver or whatever, it's a great starting point to see what we've been discussing and where we've been discussing it and what context.
Which is what an encyclopedia is for.
Indeed.
Go and look up information.
You have to see it. It's very hard to describe in audio. We'll put a link in the show notes. And if you've not checked out the Sci Podcast Encyclopedia, I think it's a sight to behold. Once you start using it, you find it is very, very quickly. It's very quick to find all the disparate pieces of information that otherwise might be lost within the site that you can't really find by search. It's different. It's a different way of finding information than the search box. If you know you're specifically looking for something on a certain topic, it's a great place to start. I'm really, really pleased with that. I'm pleased with how it's come about. It's taken so much time and so much effort. And there's still so many improvements to be made, but do take a look at it and see if you find it useful. I right now, this week, I've been using it more than ever. I highly recommend it.
Have you?
I have.
What yes. for?
Because I was... I can't... Don't ask me that. No, I can't tell you that either. There's something new that's coming for another thing later, actually.
I apologise. I did not mean to put you on the spot. Because I so far, I haven't necessarily had a specific use for it, but I've really enjoyed browsing and... Like when I enter a rankings and then I go and look in the driver and it's right there. It's amazing.
I'll tell you what I was, you know, what it was last year we did a podcast and I said something along the lines of, if Fernando Alonso loses the championship by 2 points, it would be Romain Grosjean's fault. Remember me saying that?
I have heard you say that before.
But I couldn't, and I was trying to link to that and couldn't remember where I said it. And had I had the encyclopedia back then, I could have gone to Romain Grosjean's profile and all the podcasts that we discussed him in, then find the podcast and then link to it. And that was when I really needed it at the end of last season. And now I can do that. And so I think linking to previous pieces of content is going to be an awful lot easier with it. There's a link in the contents menu at the top of the site if you need to get to it normally. There will be a link in the show notes for this show.
Yeah. About the Amazon thing, Will said, I imagine it might be so that people don't buy books and have all the content changed in front of their eyes. But that's not how it works because the Amazon... update. This is some, what do they call it? Inside baseball, like behind the scenes knowledge. The Amazon update thing. There's two options. One is for a minor one and one is for a major one. If it's a minor update, then you can just, I think they rely on the author to tell people, don't they? And you go in and you can manage your Kindle and update it there. Or if it's a major one, they will email people that have bought it and then you go and update it. So it never just changes. You have to actively go and do something.
Yeah. Ultimately, iTunes is better. There's no other way of saying it. The iTunes system is faster, it's quicker, it's simpler. You have to delete your own book and go and get the new version. So we have to tell you to do it, which we've just done. But it works. And
iTunes, I don't think there's a situation where the book will just disappear.
No.
And change. You have to, as a user, you have to do something to make that happen. So yeah. I don't know what Amazon's problem is, and it's quite annoying.
The only thing I would say that is...
It didn't take me four weeks to write the book. No, it did.
It took you more than 4 weeks to write the book, but it took that doesn't work. It in Amazon's defense, this time last year, their updating system was so bad that if you managed to replace an old book with a new book, it deleted all of your notes, all of your bookmarks, and everything you'd saved associated with the book. So within a year, they've managed to resolve that problem. Now when you finally do get to update your book, it will still store all your notes and everything about it.
Yeah.
So they've improved it. It's just they've not improved it as much as Apple.
Both Apple and Amazon improved because last year we didn't even put the pocket on there. So because I was so upset with Apple.
Amazon was so bad. No, sorry. Apple was so awful. The book publishing system was so dreadful 1 year ago, exactly 1 year ago, that it basically reduced you to tears.
Don't say that.
It put you off writing books for a whole season. So, you know, they're both... There's a long way to go. Ebooks have still have a steep hill to climb to make them as good as they should be. But they're getting better.
We're getting there.
And we're not getting there. They're getting there.
They're getting there.
And we're just demanding more.
We will keep on at them until they do it. Mm. Okay. Two more things on the site we need to talk about quite quickly. The scrapbook. It's amazing. We have been using various things over the past few years to just save links or pictures or just little scraps of information about Formula One. Originally, we used Dropio. We used to talk about that all the time until they got bought and closed. And then we used Postgres for a bit until they got bought and closed. Mm. So there's a trend here. You can see that. You can understand why we might think about making our own place Indeed. To do that, and that is where the scrapbook comes in, and it's a really sweet little place just for the little snippets of F1 stuff. We've posted some YouTube videos. I think that was an actual post, wasn't it? going to say the Harlem,
Will did that.
Harlem Shake thing, but that was Will put more effort into that. What's in the scrapbook?
Lewis Hamilton's dog is in the scrapbook.
Oh, God. That isn't his dog.
Oh, it isn't. It's his dog's girlfriend. Sorry. Lewis Hamilton's dog's girlfriend is in the scrapbook. Whose name is... Don't know what her name is.
Do we know... I don't think we know the name of the dog, do we?
It's Roscoe, but I don't know what his girlfriend's called.
Fiona.
Fiona? Yeah.
I think people are a bit miffed at the whole dog situation.
Who is? What is?
People are a bit fed up with Hamilton and his dog.
What?
And the fact he's got a pit pass, pit lane.
How can you possibly be fed up with Lewis Hamilton and his dog? It's only been 2 minutes. Seriously?
Well.
Different?
The only thing I don't like about it so far is that he keeps saying the dog has passed out hard. And I don't really know what that means, because surely at any point if you pass out, you know, it's like you either are passed out or you're not.
Right.
I'm not sure there's a way to pass out hard.
I think it's cute.
It is a cute dog. Anyway. Where was I? I've completely forgotten.
You were going to look for something in the scrapbook.
I know,
so
but where was I
scrapbook.
In the sentence?
Oh, you're going to have to do it again, I think.
The whole thing?
Yeah.
Oh.
You having a minor breakdown? Yeah. You like podcasting, remember? You're going to do more of it this year.
Two more new things on the website that we need to talk about. For the... Oh, I've done all that. I can't do that again.
Okay, we'll come in.
And then they closed it down.
Right, okay. So, You got to snippets of information, and then you were going to tell us what sort of snippets, the example snippets.
Okay.
And then you got confused with Harlem Shake.
That's true.
So drop yourself in lots of snippets of information like.
Like?
Yeah.
Recently we had the Ferrari drivers, they were in a Ferrari car, I imagine, driving each other around track and looking quite terrified at the prospect of being a passenger, which was quite fun. We've also been using it to highlight some of the smaller new things we've been doing on the site, like the Fact by Fact Box graphics have been updated, mm-hmm. which isn't something we do a major announcement about, but it's nice to note. And highlighting some of the new apps and things that teams are coming up with. There's even something about NASCAR on there, because it's only tiny, and it's a good place to note these things.
It's not the kind of thing that's going to get in your way on Side Podcasts. It won't bug you. It won't bother you. You're not going to stumble across it, particularly unless you're looking for it. But sidepodcast.com/scrapbook is a place to go if you want to keep up with lots of bits and pieces.
Plus, it looks really nice. And the final thing we need to talk about is features. We introduced these last year and had some excellent writers throughout the year, and they are back, or still going, really, because we've had Adam in particular has been...
He's been working very hard.
He's been writing things all across the off-season, but people like me are gearing up again for the new year, and we've got Will has just launched a new feature called Tech Spec, where he looks in-depth at some technical bits and pieces that go way over my head, but I love it. It's good information to have there, and we've got some new ones coming soon, and at some point, I'm going to write a post about if anyone wants to write a feature, how they can do it, what we need to collaborate on.
Remind me what the differences are between features and posts. Why are we encouraging people to use features more and write features?
Well, features, they tend to be longer form content. So it's a place where you can really get in depth with your topic. Each writer tends to have a specific topic in mind. For instance, I write the midfield monitor column, which focuses on the teams in the midfield, funnily enough. And it also highlights, it's more personal, it highlights the author, links to things that other things that they do. It's very specific place.
And it's regular. That's the key thing. You know what the schedule is, you know when to expect content from writers, and it keeps, it's good to say, to give people a thumbs, and it's good to keep, oof, and it's good to give the audience something to look forward to. You know, we're not great at keeping schedules, we're not very good at keeping regular content, but the featured articles actually have been incredibly regular. There's such a wealth of content on there, it's very hard to keep up with, actually. It's hard to keep on top of all the latest ones. You need to set set time aside to make sure you read them, you know, undisturbed, the fantastic insight that they offer. And if you are interested, if you fancy having your own featured column on Side Podcast, how do people get in touch with you?
Well, like I said, I'm going to write a post, but we do already have a post on the site, but I'm going to update it about what we require for a feature writer. But if you want to, if you're thinking about it, start thinking of a good name for your title, because the name is always fun. And then you can always email me, Christine@sidepodcast.com, if you can't wait until I get around to writing the silly post.
Brilliant stuff. We have been busy.
Yes.
And I don't know where I was going with that. Brilliant stuff. We have been busy. Is that us up to date? Is that everything we've done? Is that, are people now, you know, is everybody on the same page? Do people know where we are?
I don't think that's everything we've done, but that's all the major points covered. Really, you just need to visit sidepodcast.com and f1minute.com, browse around, see what you find, and interact, because that is what it's there for.
And what are we going to be doing this year? Is there going to be more sidepodcasts to look forward to? More shows? More of these things?
Yeah, well,
more
nonsense. I promised all that last time, and now it's been like a month since we did our last show, so that hasn't worked out very well. But like I said, once the season starts, I'm anticipating having a rest. So we might have more time to do these things like shows and stuff instead of launching features and columns and encyclopedias and scrapbooks on the site.
They
will be there already.
And be careful what you wish for, because every time we do a show, we will be asking for more interaction. We will be asking more from our listeners than ever before.
Don't put them off.
Oh, no. This is the deal. If you want us to do more, I insist that every listener contributes more of their time, more effort, more interaction. There will be no passive Sidepodcast listeners in 2013. We will root every single person out, and we will make sure they get volunteered for something. I insist on it.
You sound a bit scary now.
I'm serious.
Seriously scary.
Good. Happy with that?
Yep.
Catch you next week then. I've run out of wine.
That's good, because we finished.
Mm. I'm disappointed.
Did you just say catch you next week to me? Like, that's
it.
Bye then.
I'll catch you next week.
I'm off.
Thanks and that. Well, the comments go back to pizza, so they're not bothered.
No.
They're not even listening.
They went, they're at pizza again via mooshing and some kind of sky high gig.
Well, I'm glad to keep people entertained.
Well, we stopped talking about Formula One, to be fair. And they probably, true. Everyone there probably knows all about this stuff already.
Yeah.
So.
Regulars. Thank you to everybody for joining us. And I hope you can join us. Are you committing to a show next Friday?
Well, I asked you.
And I said yes.
And you seemed okay with that.
I'm happy to
that.
Do it next week, yeah.
Yeah, I should think so.
It's Friday free practice. There'll be things to discuss. There'll be things to look forward to. I'm not quite sure how we're going to see it. I'm assuming we're watching it on your iPhone screen.
Yeah, we haven't got ourselves set up yet, have we?
No, well, Sky's going. Did you know Sky's going up? I should have mentioned that in the whole thing.
It's going up.
If you're not already a Sky, let me get this right. If you're not currently a Sky HD subscriber, you have to become a Sky Sports subscriber, which is more expensive than the HD package. So anybody who is already a HD subscriber is in luck, because they
grandfathered in.
Yeah, they will continue, presumably for well, I don't know. Actually, I don't know if there's an end date on it. Maybe forever. But essentially, they will continue with the current package, while new customers have to go to the more expensive package. And we are waiting for.
Aren't Sky lovely?
Yes. This is going to really help, by the way. It's going to help F1 viewing figures no end this year. Yep, they're definitely going to
make it
go up.
More expensive.
Mm-hmm. Make it harder and a bigger commitment for fans. I think it's something like £500 this year. If you're a new customer and you're not already on that package. So that's pricey.
I think Alan McNish for the win, to be honest.
Well, I'm still looking forward to the $9.99 a day. And I say looking forward to in inverted commas, $9.99 a day service on Now TV, which I know somebody who's beta testing it, and he said so far it's been utterly useless.
Oh, brilliant!
It keeps hanging halfway through, and then he can't restart his browser. It doesn't come back. So
I'm going to stick with my iPhone app. I think I like Formula One and this tiny little.
You
screen.
Like 4-inch Formula One?
Why not?
So yeah, Now TV is not ready for the prime time. It will not be, as far as I'm aware, it's not going to be ready for the first race of the season. So we're going to have to watch it on a very, 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 very small screen and squint. But that's cool. I'm okay with that. I'm happy. I'm still keen to watch it. I won't be put off by the insane pricing.
It sounds like we need to move to the States.
I think, yeah. Yes. Jack is already running hid from my volunteering.
I told you you'd scare the people.
Nope.
Jackie has volunteered for stuff in the past. We know she likes it, really.
Yeah.
Quizzing and all sorts of things.
Absolutely. Oh, there should be more quizzing. Oh, there's so much we can volunteer for people for this year.
Mm-hmm.
Much to do.
There's a lot we can volunteer people for. We just have to get our stuff working.
Yeah, my mute button's broke. I don't know if you noticed. That's where we came in.
Yeah. It's about time we came out again.
You know then. We're going to sit silently through the, you know the song
I know.
That plays out.
I can't sing or nothing.
We've just got to sit here.
I'm glad I didn't like belt it out, because quite often I do that.
Yeah. I have no trust.
I've lost. Been changing. Oh, that would have been well embarrassing.
I have trust issues with this desk. Right. Anything else to say? Anything else to...
No, that's it. As ever, thank you for joining us. Sorry it was so long between the last one, but it was just, it's just been manic. I don't understand. The days just disappear.
Well, it's back-to-back races, so presumably it could be back-to-back fuss.
That would be three in a row. That's ridiculous. What a crazy idea.
If you're going to promise more content to people, you've got to deliver the content.
That's true. Oh, there's a plane. That's a good sign.
Perfect. That's our sign to go. Thank you. Thank you, one. Thank you all. I've had fun. You've had fun?
Yeah.
Yeah.